You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a weekly podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Our current serial is Julia Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary, which was first published in the collection Love and Roman Punk and is still available from 12th Planet Press. Part 3. Lamia. You may have heard of the Lamia, a host of serpentine women who drink the blood of children. They are seductive creatures as well, taking lovers purely to keep themselves fueled with heat and blood. Part serpent, part bird, all monster. I trust you've also heard the rumours that my great-grandfather's wife, Livia, was one of them, a poisonous creature who swept the world of anyone she saw as a rival to herself or to her son. Those rumours are true. I have dissembled with my previous descriptions of Livia, only in refusing to acknowledge that I come from her bloodline as well as that of Augustus. On my mother's side, I am descended directly from the first emperor, but on my father's, oh yes, my father, Germanicus, was the son of Drusus, beloved younger brother of Tiberius, both sons of the woman who ruled us all for so very long. Livia separated the world into those who were of use to her and those who were expendable. She had a particular hatred for Julia's. How could she not, when we had a power she could never understand, a strength that meant something beyond death to your enemies and poison in a cup? She was young and married, pregnant for the second time, when Augustus set eyes on her. And it is said that she so bewitched him that he had to possess her before she even produced the baby and secured her divorce. None of the rules of society applied to Livia. Though her first husband lived, she and Augustus raised her sons in the imperial household. She was thought of as a mystic, claiming great signs from the gods in support of her new husband, and went around in the get-up of a priestess. When Augustus's heirs started dying, no one said a word. They did not dare challenge the most powerful woman in Rome. Julia Major fell because it was Livia who decreed she should not be forgiven, and Julilla also. Julia's boys died one by one. Even my own father Germanicus was not safe once he had rebelled against her control. I blame Livia for all of their deaths, and I am not the only one. Be kind to Livia, my mother told us when we returned to Rome, fatherless and broken. Be good to Livia. Above all else, be useful to Livia, and we may live. Caligula was the best at it. He had a talent for charming old ladies, and put it to great effect. Livia warmed to his pretty face and eloquent tongue, and allowed him into her inner circle. He would often bring his sisters along, provided we dressed nicely and smiled sufficiently. My tongue was the sharpest, and most easily given to sarcasm, and Julia Livilla was too young to properly guard herself, so Drusilla became his favourite partner in crime. More than once, when Caligula had visited our great-grandmother alone, I saw marks on his neck that might have been bites. Livia was always rosier of cheek and more pleasant company after one of those visits. Drusus and Nero, our older brothers, were often called in for such conferences themselves and afterwards seemed sluggish and dull. Caligula, though, thrived on Livia's attentions and would come away from her feverish and excitable. Whatever my brother could have been, she changed him. If there is Lamia blood in all of our veins, then it was brightest in his. and I believe it was her proximity that brought it out in him. I was only alone with Livia once, the day she told me she had arranged my marriage. I was 13 and old enough, so they all said. I saw a silvery sheen to the old woman's skin and a gleam in her eyes that she was usually better at hiding. "Are you pleased at this news?" she asked, as if I should clap my hands with joy that a fat and elderly senator had been sufficiently bribed with the gift of a young imperial wife. "Of course, grandmother," I told her. "Marriage is the purpose of a woman, Agrippinilla." I nodded and smiled, keeping my distance from her. "Come, kiss me then." I froze for only an instant, horrified at the thought, then recovered myself and came forward to give her a dutiful peck on the cheek. She felt fevered and turned her head at the last moment to receive my kiss on the mouth. I could smell warm blood and wondered which of my brothers she had been feeding on. "Your sons will serve me," she breathed. "My sons will serve the Empire," I agreed. She nodded and smiled as if she had not noticed the distinction I made. "I have made Tiberius promise," she said. "When I die, I must be a goddess. I will sit at Augustus's right hand as his true wife. Caligula has promised me this as well, should Tiberius fail me. And you will teach your sons, will you not, that Livia must be a goddess?" "Yes, grandmother," I managed to say. Her hands were gripping me soft, puckered skin over bone. How long did she intend to live if my children were to have a say in the matter? "We are all Julias together," she said with a wavering smile. "I shall be Diwa Julia, the first Diwa Julia." I was almost sick at the thought of it. Here she was, stinking with the blood of my brothers, claiming a name that the Senate had only allowed her after her husband's death, when she produced a paper to say Augustus had posthumously adopted her. It was a farce that she should take the only thing we had, the name of Julia, and corrupt it to her own purpose. "Your sons will be strong," she promised me, and I vowed to myself that my sons would stay far away from Rome until this creature was dead. Except, of course, that we had her in our bloodline. We were all monsters and could never escape her. Manticore. My mother could not hold her tongue forever, but she waited until Livia was gone. Tiberius would surely be a better emperor, she hoped, without his bitch mother's influence. By then, of course, it was too late. Tiberius was awash in his own corruptions and spent most of his days frolicking on Capri with a legion of boyish throats to drink from. He had no love for any of us but my brother Caligula, who used what he had learned at Livia's lap to seduce our uncle into compliance. I often thought my brother was play-acting the part of Tiberius's devoted follower, just as he had calculated his performance for Livia. But where does the play end and real life begin, if the artifice is needed every day, every waking moment? What is the difference between pretending to be a monster and actually being one? I never knew how strongly the Lamia blood flowed in my brother's veins. But I do know that Caligula was not the same after his years in close contact with Livia. And then Tiberius. I also know that his performance saved me and my sisters from a similar fate, though I was never sure if that was intentional on his part. Nothing he did was going to save our brothers or our mother. Tiberius loathed them. He resented their brute strength, their power and popularity. My mother did not have to conspire against him, though, of course, she did, for him to grow suspicious. I have no doubt that my mother would have assassinated Tiberius if she could have, and that she was plotting to make her move. In the end, her crime was to refuse to eat an apple from the emperor's hand, suspecting it to be poisoned. He smiled at the insult and had her arrested. There are many ways to poison an enemy. Once more, a Julia was exiled from Rome to an island. But Julia Agrippina and her two elder sons were the first to be sent to an island designed to kill them. Pandataria had teeth and claws. It was the home of the manticores, dread creatures with the faces of humans, bodies of lions, and serpentine tails lashing with scorpion stings. They do not kill you, those stings. I've seen them used in battle and as a tool for assassination. Were I not as accomplished with the blade as I am, I might have used them myself. The manticore sting poisons the blood first and destroys the body. Next time you walk, it is on pause. With only your face remaining, they create more of themselves, and I can only hope there is nothing left of the mind, or I would never sleep a night without dreaming of the horror of what was done to my mother and Nero and Drusus. My only comfort is that our family took its revenge against Tiberius. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter or Tumblr @SheepMightFly for updates and commentary. And I will see you next week.